This is everything you want to know about non-clinical careers for physicians. For Third Evolution, I'm your host, Robert Priddy. Today we're talking with Dr. Brian Hinnebusch. Dr. Hinnebusch is a board-certified colorectal surgeon who has recently reshaped his career path to step away from the operating room and into the arena of physician burnout. Dr. Hinnebusch has started his own consulting organization called Outside Doctoring, as well as partnering with several other organizations to focus on various issues surrounding the tragedy of physician burnout. I want to welcome him to the program today. Dr. Hinnebusch, pleasure to have you with us.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for having me on. It's good to be here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. It's a very important topic, and your background and your experience, I think, will be very interesting and of value to our listeners. So let's just jump right in. Tell me what got you started in this this area of physician burnout. What prompted this interest? What brought you where we are today?
Yeah, well, I spent almost 10 years in training and over 15 years in surgical practice. And after all that, I was really burning out. And unfortunately for me, the resources that could have prevented me from suffering what ended up being a really extreme case of burnout, they just weren't available at that time. Instead of that, I was identified as a disruptive physician and required drastic corrective measures.
That seems pretty severe. Burnout is not something that just, I guess I'll say, it doesn't happen in isolation. It's not something you just do and all of a sudden you're burned out. It has to be, I guess I'll say, a collaborative activity in the sense of it's part of your environment and the practice and your organization. What actions were it that your hospital took?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. It really is a systemic and organizational issue. And it was very clear, I think, to everyone around me that I was burning out. The way that my organization handled it is they threatened to remove me from the medical staff. And under that threat, I was required to undergo a week-long comprehensive evaluation. And the recommendation from that then became an intensive partial hospitalization program, which was supposed to last for about 6 weeks, but it ended up lasting about 3 months. Now, both of those things I had to pay for out of my own pocket. And so I really quickly learned that so-called disruptive physicians support an entire industry which is supposedly dedicated to their rehabilitation.
That's interesting. And I guess the next question is, this isn't just you. As you said, it's an entire industry. A large percentage of physicians are dealing with, I'll say officially or unofficially, with the issue of burnout. Why do you think physician burnout is so common?
Yeah, because its root causes, the things that lead to burnout, are really intrinsic and they're ubiquitous within our system of medical training and practice. So clinical work in and of itself is stressful enough, but ultimately physicians are capable, they're resilient, and can handle that stress if they're given the opportunity and ability to practice according to the way that they're trained and educated, if they have the autonomy to do that. The corporatization of medicine has really eroded that autonomy. So now there are just these excessive administrative burdens and bureaucracy that physicians have to deal with. Because of the corporatization, physicians are expected to now meet business metrics. So physicians are asked to see the maximum number of patients in the minimal number of time and achieve maximum reimbursement levels. And this drive to maximize profits pushes doctors to treat patients as products rather than people. That change, that corporatization of medicine, has really cut and degraded the very basic humanistic heart of medicine, which is one person helping another person. Doctors are now forced to navigate between doing what is best for business and what is best for their patients. And all too often, those two things are actually in conflict.
Well, interesting. Dr. Hennebusch, do you believe that conflict, do you believe that is a conscious decision that physicians consider, or do you see the company versus the patient issue as more of an environmental overarching issue?
Yeah, I don't think that physicians consciously decide to treat patients as products. It's just that they're sort of beholden to their employers because increasingly these days physicians are employed and not practicing for themselves. Doctors work long hours in high-stress clinical environments to provide care. And corporations come up with things like the electronic medical record, which was supposed to decrease physician workload, but it actually increases the administrative burden and distracts from patient care. The electronic medical record is actually designed to measure business metrics and increase productivity to increase the bottom line. And physicians are now routinely spending hours completing medical records on the electronic medical record after they've actually finished their clinical work for the day. And they're further distracted by having to do things like secure prior authorizations and deal with denials of care by insurance companies. And I haven't even mentioned the constant threat of malpractice litigation, which causes physicians to overtest and overread those tests and overreact to them.
Well, it seems like there are a lot of dynamics in play here, but as we started this conversation, you were talking about your own experiences, and I wonder, just to put this in context for other physicians listening to this conversation, could you talk a little bit about your experiences in dealing with burnout and dealing, I guess I'll say, with the system as well?
Yeah, sure. When I was in residency, this was before residents were restricted to working 80 hours a week. So at that time, I was averaging over 100 hours of work every week in the hospital. And of course, there was this one time, it was at night in the winter, I was driving home having worked 36 straight hours. And I woke up driving my car on the wrong side of the road, on a main road. I rolled down the windows and turned off the heat to try to stay awake, and I made it home and made it to work the next day. And when I talked to my fellow residents about it, they all reported that they had undergone similar experiences. They all had fallen asleep at the wheel at one point in time during residency. One of the suggestions that they had was actually that I should drive with one eye closed, and that way at least half of my brain could sleep while I'm driving back and forth to work.
Well, yeah, I've certainly heard some horror stories about residency, but go on.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is that those long hours didn't end with residency. And so, for example, I was away on vacation when my father ended up on his deathbed. And so, of course, I cut my vacation short to be with him and my family. He passed a few days later, and I stayed on to attend the funeral where I gave his eulogy. Now, of course, my colleagues were gracious enough to cover my patients and my call responsibilities while I was away, and I've done that for them on occasions as well. But of course, when I got back, I still had to make those days up to them. Right after I got back, I had to do what's called a power weekend, which is I start work at 7 a.m. on a Friday morning, and then that work weekend ends at 7 a.m. on Monday. But of course, it really doesn't end because I have a full day in the office that Monday. Anyway, it's just that I'm off call. This weekend after my father had passed and I had gotten back, I had to work most of those hours. I was up almost all night, Saturday and Sunday night operating, and I had to spend almost the entire weekend in the hospital. And of course, we weren't provided a call room. So I had to sleep when I could in a room in the maternity ward, which was a little awkward, but it was either that or an exam table in my office. But really, even when I get to lay down, there was no unbroken sleep because I was covering all the surgical patients in the hospital, not just my own. So I was always fielding calls from the floor and ICU nurses.
Unfortunately, I'm sure many of our listeners can certainly relate to that, but please go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that's very true. Many physicians are familiar with working those kinds of hours. But this particular weekend, by the time I had finished my last emergency operation on that Sunday night, it was already Monday morning, and it was time for me to round on my patients before heading to the office. Now, just as I was completing the progress note on my last patient, I got a call from my practice manager. And he had told me that I had used all of my vacation and bereavement days, so they were going to dock my pay. And it didn't matter to him that I had just worked over 60 hours in 3 days over the weekend, or that my father had just died. And so at that point, I really just snapped.
You know, I have to say, as an ex-hospital administrator, that just seems unconscionable to me. But, you know, it seems there was this significant, like, disconnect between you as a person and you as simply being a necessary cog in the system. Would you say that you were viewed more as a commodity than really as a valued professional, as a physician?
Absolutely. I mean, for instance, my contract stated that I work 40 hours a week and that I have nights and weekends off. Now, they, being administration, conveniently ignored the fact that I average 60 hours of work per week, of course, never got paid overtime, and that I routinely work nights, weekends, and holidays. Now, of course, when it was convenient for them, they used the 40 hours I was supposed to work per week to calculate how much time off I was allowed. Now, as an experienced, well-trained surgeon with 2 board certifications, it was insulting to be treated like an hourly employee. And again, that Monday morning when they told me they were docking my pay because of the time I took off for my father's funeral, I had already just worked 60 hours in 3 days over the weekend. But none of those hours actually counted for anything as far as my office manager was concerned. So I had operated on several patients with life-threatening emergencies, and the money the hospital would collect from those patients would have paid a substantial portion of my annual salary, let alone the extra day or two I took off for my father's funeral. My burnout really began in residency, but when this incident happened, I was already near my breaking point.
Again, it's a story that I can appreciate your frustration, and it's just a bit, you know, more than alarming to someone who has been in this business and industry for as many decades as I have. But medical practice is it's a partnership. It's a team exercise, and particularly when you're a surgeon. That team, how did they support you? How did you interact, I guess I'll say, with administration on this?
Yeah, it was, I would say, contentious. You know, I mean, for my part, I was really angry because I knew that it was our broken system of healthcare that had caused my burnout. But really, they weren't offering anything really to help me prevent it or alleviate it. And my frustration and anger just increased because my organization, like every healthcare organization these days, was well aware of the problem of burnout. But they still responded by wanting to get rid of me instead of trying to help me. So long before this, I began by sort of hinting that I needed help. And as time went on and I was not only being ignored, but sort of under the threat of being removed from the hospital staff at the end, I was actually screaming that I needed to be helped. And it really fell on deaf ears. So ultimately, I was able to address and overcome the issues that my burnout had caused. But for the most part, I had to do all of that on my own. You know, the way the organization dealt with me actually exacerbated my issues, and it made my recovery more difficult and longer than it needed to be. And I feel like if the organization had taken a gentler, more proactive approach, I believe that I would have been able to return to my surgical career. I mean, I really still love surgery, and it really kind of hurts that practicing the profession I love would now be detrimental to my health. You know, burnout causes empathy fatigue, apathy, lack of energy, depression, anxiety, substance abuse, disruptive behaviors, medical errors, decreased productivity, depersonalization, and in extreme cases, suicide. It negatively affects colleagues, patients, families, and the overall healthcare system. You know, over half of all physicians report some degree of burnout, and in some studies, it's up to 80%. Burnout is associated with twice the number of medical errors, and with that, an associated increase in malpractice litigation. It leads to staff turnover, And it can cost up to $1 million to replace one physician. And in 2021, over 230,000 doctors, nurses, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, et cetera, quit their jobs. Mm-hmm. And even worse, one physician takes their own life every single day of every year. And true to our profession, we don't take nights and weekends off every single day of every single year. You know, burnout among healthcare workers is really a public health crisis.
I can understand that. What I guess I have some trouble understanding is back in my day, I've not been in a hospital role for 20 years now. There was certainly that pull yourself up by the bootstraps kind of attitude. But the statistics that you're reporting, those are available to anyone. Everyone can see the dynamic that exists here. So do you see awareness and concern about physician burnout being addressed more effectively or more with more zeal, I'll say, from the administrative side today?
And I agree that there is an awareness of it, but what is actually being done, I think, is still unfortunately very little, because what needs to be done is the root causes need to be addressed. I mean, our system of healthcare is constructed to intrinsically cause burnout. And although there are many different factors which ultimately lead to burnout, the one thing that they all have in common is that disruption of the doctor-patient relationship. The corporatization of medicine has led to patients being treated as products and the physicians like assembly line robots. Physicians were forced to see or pushed to see as many patients as possible in as little time as possible. And simultaneously, we have to document and click off as many diagnosis codes so that we can maximize profits. Now, the insurance companies resist this approach and they create barriers because they don't want to pay. And so prior authorization and payment denials have to be dealt with by the physician, and that takes additional time away from actual patient care. So physicians are really caught in the middle. In essence, the patient-doctor relationship has become a battlefield and a proxy war between healthcare organizations and insurance companies. Physicians and their patients are actually the casualties of that war. And the threat of malpractice litigation to the mix, you add that in, and burnout seems almost impossible to avoid. Mm-hmm. It's a systemic problem, but the system isn't changing anytime soon. So awareness of physician burnout and its negative effects are still increasing, but all too often the response from administrators is effectively to tell the physicians to heal themselves. Physicians are told to eat healthy, stay hydrated, exercise, take a yoga class, or meditate. Now, all of these things can be helpful, but none of them addresses the root causes of burnout. And doctors are well aware that to cure disease, one must treat the cause, not the symptoms. People who are part of the system that causes burnout turn around and tell the physicians to fix it themselves, and that just doesn't sit well. It often causes resentment, which in turn leads to worsening burnout.
Now, I guess moving to really the meat of this conversation, tell me, what do you believe can be done to prevent and to alleviate burnout?
Well, really what needs to be done is that the entire system of healthcare needs to be overhauled. But the unfortunate reality is this isn't happening anytime soon. Success in addressing these systemic root causes of burnout requires the direction and leadership of physicians rather than administrators. But unfortunately, physicians are already struggling with the overwhelming demands of their profession and what is now a debilitating work-life imbalance. So the expression that you can't pour from an empty cup really is true. Yet the only way burnout can be eliminated is by physicians actually taking the lead. So in order to do that, we got to first help those physicians who are currently afflicted with burnout, and that's a lot of us. I mean, the Harvard Global Health Institute reported that burnout affects up to 80% of healthcare workers. And again, in 2021 alone, over 117,000 physicians quit their job. And despite the epidemic proportions of burnout, outwardly, many physicians are in denial, like they just don't admit that they have these problems. We have to tell ourselves or actually what happens is physicians tell themselves that they can handle it, and they remind themselves that it's the patient that has the disease. They're ashamed to discuss what they're going through for fear of being labeled weak, and they don't seek help because they're afraid that they're going to be labeled impaired or suffer retribution, like threats to be removed from the hospital staff.
That's interesting. Can you expand on that just a little bit more?
Sure. I mean, you know, the vast majority, as we know, of physicians are suffering from burnout to some degree. I mean, one physician every day of the year takes their own life. So to be helped, because physicians are in denial, they have to be first willing to accept that help, to admit to themselves and to another person that burnout is actually an issue. Well, currently, there is help that is available that is completely confidential and won't be reported to administrators, licensing boards, or other regulatory agency. And that help that is available works, but it takes time and effort on part of the physician, and it's not a miracle cure. It's not a one-time fix. Now, the good news is that physicians are increasingly taking advantage of this confidential help that is available, and it's beginning to start to make a difference. Now, as individual physicians begin to feel relief from burnout, their lives improve. Their lives improve. The care that they provide improves. Their home life improves. And then they gain the strength to work towards the systemic reforms that are needed to extinguish burnout once and for all. And just like the longest journey begins with a single step, countering burnout begins with an individual physician being open and willing to take that first step toward a better life.
Well, very good. Well, let me ask you this. What do you want other physicians to take away from this podcast, from what you have to say?
That there's hope. You are not alone. I mean, it is possible to counter burnout. You can remain in your profession and lead a happier, healthier, and more fulfilling life. But it does require commitment and an openness to accepting help. Now, these days, there are resources available for healthcare workers, which are expressly aimed at preventing and alleviating burnout. Although burnout exists in all professions, there are unique aspects of healthcare that make it worthwhile and probably even necessary to seek out those resources that are specifically aimed at healthcare providers.
Can you tell us, you know, what are some of those resources?
Sure. There's a new company called FitMedic, which has developed a novel approach to countering burnout. And what they've done is developed an artificial neural network, or artificial intelligence, which runs through a phone app, and it measures about 20 different variables automatically. And then it calculates and generates a burnout score in real time, which is then reported back to the individual. And it's completely confidential. There's no identifying information that's provided to administration or medical boards. And the app itself provides modules and other resources and interventions to help alleviate burnout. And what's really neat about it is that at the institutional level, it can help identify the root causes which are unique to that institution. And then these can be targeted for modification so that hopefully it starts to attack some of the systemic causes of burnout. And what I really like about the FitMedic product or their approach is the human interface aspect, and I'm actually a part of that. So I offer one-on-one coaching through the app, moderate group sessions, and also I offer in-person and virtual group sessions, workshops, and retreats as well. FitMedic is also developing a community feature, which will be exclusive to FitMedic users, and that provides a social network forum to confidentially and anonymously discuss issues physicians are facing. And really, if nothing else, that community feature has therapeutic value in that it provides a safe space for physicians to vent frustrations and talk about things among empathetic peers who have had similar experiences. Along those same lines, there's an organization called Physicians Anonymous, which is an international group that has several weekly live online support groups for physicians who are facing burnout issues. The meetings are moderated by certified coaches, and participants are welcome to use pseudonyms and aren't required to appear on screen by video or picture. So this organization, LakeFit Medic, has also partnered with a number of coaches like myself who are available for one-on-one coaching and also provide useful articles and other tips that are relevant to burnout topics. And there's another organization, Healthy Careers, which powers the official career centers for many of the top medical society associations and certifying organizations. So they've recently partnered with burnout coaches such as myself to offer one-on-one coaching, as well as assistance in identifying healthcare organizations that are a little more proactive in addressing and mitigating burnout. I myself also independently through Outside Doctoring offer one-on-one coaching, group sessions, and retreats to address and alleviate burnout, as well as I do some consulting work for organizations which are interested in identifying and addressing burnout's root causes.
Well, so, go ahead, Doctor.
No, I was done. I'm sorry.
No, that's just fine. I find it's very interesting, and it seems that we are moving in the right direction. Also, you know, as an industry, I think a question is, how much impetus will there be for both physicians and for administrators to reach out and utilize some of these opportunities to at least test them to see if they can affect some change, as well as I think to use some of these resources to better understand the depth of burnout and the effects that it is having. So I think it's encouraging, I'll put it that way. In closing, do you mind being contacted by physicians in the audience or perhaps even a hospital administrator or two who would have an interest in this?
Yeah, I would love to talk to physicians or hospital administrators if they're interested in discussing how to combat burnout. My website is outsidedoctoring, all one word, .com. My email is drh, so that's drh at outsidedoctoring, all one word, .com. And my phone number is 508-246-2641. And that's good for voice or text. And if you shoot me a text, please let me know that you are inquiring about physician burnout services.
Well, I certainly encourage those listening, if you have a question or if you feel you're dealing with burnout or facing burnout or someone around you is, please don't hesitate to reach out to Dr. Hinnebusch. I think you'll find it helpful and rewarding to have a conversation. Dr. Hinnebusch, I want to say thank you for Third Evolution and for taking time out of your day to speak with me as well as those in the audience. And thank you once again, and all my best.
Yeah, thank you very much. It was a pleasure being here. Thanks for having me.
For comments about this or any of my podcasts, or to request a hallway consult, don't hesitate to contact me at 720-339-3585 for voice, message, or text. And visit me online at www.thirdevo.com. Until next time, thank you for listening.